Buddy, I did not ask the quartet of the choir to select those songs regarding the end times, the rapture in particular, or things leading up to the rapture, better known perhaps as the second coming of the Lord. But my heart has been deeply stirred, as we've already heard some of the remarks already made this evening, even regarding the events in the U.S. And I want you to turn, please, to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Some time ago, I gave a message on the horses of riding. Remember the Revelation chapter 6, where we have the white horse of deception, and we have the red horse of war, the black horse of famine, and the pale horse of pestilences, plagues in the world. And the Lord Jesus gives us perhaps a little insight of exactly the same thing of Revelation chapter 6. And we're going to commence our reading, please, from verse 5 of Luke chapter 21. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That happened in A.D. 70, the Roman regime, and as true to what the Lord had predicted, it actually happened. And we see a series of events that the Lord spoke of that have actually come to pass. Very significant. And verse 7 says, and they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying that I am the Christ. The time draweth near, but go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prison, being brought before kings, rulers, for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, for there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. Let not them that are in the countries enter therein. Verse 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. There shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That's when he comes to set up his kingdom on the earth. Verse 28, very significant verse. He says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. Referring to Israel now, no doubt when she became a nation. Says, when they now shoot forth, Ye see and know of your own self that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. We are to know, we can know, we should know. We're not left in the dark as far as God's prophetic calendar is concerned. We do not know the hour of the very moment the Lord Jesus is coming for his church. That's true, but at least we have a sense of feeling that his coming is very near. Verse 32 says, verily I say unto you, and this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, extravagance, complacency, indolence, and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, occupied with time and sense, occupied with business and the things that we have to take care of and so on. Cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be able, or may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Very solemn words the Lord Jesus gave to us in this particular chapter. I will not reiterate what we have read verse by verse, but sufficient to say in that particular verse when he said, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Bible scholars, some years ago, we were talking about a period of 34 years after Israel became a nation. The coming of the Lord was soon to be around about that time, because that what many of us calculated to be a generation. But of course, as we study the word more, now we know that he is not so much speaking in terms of years after Israel became a nation in 1948, but rather the things that will come to pass when she became a nation. And that makes a lot of sense. It clears up in our mind that it's still, mind you, still evident that his coming is near. But we now have a gauge. We now have a thermometer, if you will, in prophecy. And one will have to be deliberately blind, and I use the word ignorant in the sense of uninformed. So we should not be left in the dark, because so much has happened. What Jesus predicted in chapter 21 of Luke, most of it took place in the last 50 years. It's really phenomenal when you think of it. In the last 50 years, Daniel introduces us into something extraordinary. When God told him, he said, in the day will come when knowledge shall increase and travel shall increase as well. They shall travel in the world to and fro. Now, when Daniel was captured, along with so many of the people of Israel, it was approximately 600 miles where they traveled. And it took them months to get to Babylon. Months. Now, with the new jet that we have, especially the one that Great Britain has produced, you can get to New York, to London, in just over a couple of hours. What a difference. 3,000 miles in just a couple of hours. You remember 50 years ago, maybe not so much here, but in our little island, our travel was by horse and trolley and buggy, and mostly by bicycle. We didn't even have cars in Bermuda at that time. They kept them out deliberately, of course. Cars were invented. Travel was a very slow thing. The pace of travel was extremely slow. But you can't conceive that here in Spanish World, even now. When I first came here, came right after, by the way, when the children died, and revival was still going on, really. People were still being saved. When I first came to Spanish Wells, that's going back quite a, ways now. And so, in the pace of life in our little island has changed, has it not? And so we see that Daniel was right. Our people do not talk about going to Miami anymore. Our boundaries for travel has gone. And just imagine our little island here in the Bahamas. Our sights are now set on regions beyond. Travel shall increase. Commonplace. The Word of God doesn't give any of these statements and predictions. But for our learning. So we should be aware of the fact that His coming is near. And the Lord said there's going to come a time when people are going to be antichrist. They're going to say, I am the Jesus of the world. And you've got all kinds of gurus and you name it who profess to be the Messiah of the day. And most of this has happened in the last 50 years. When Israel became a nation. It's very significant. Earthquakes have increased in the last 100 years. But proportion that staggers the imagination. Earth tremors by the thousands every month now. I mean, one would have to, you just have to face facts. We are living in the end time. That's why the Lord said, be therefore watching, watchful, and be ready. I hope and trust that you're not going to look upon this message tonight as just another message on the coming of the Lord. It's that there will be distress of nations. Has there ever been a time in the Western world, as far as in our lifetime, where there's been so much distress of nations and the distress of a nation like what's happened this past week? I don't remember shedding as many tears, at least for a long time, like I've shared this past week. I can't help it. You know why? I see those poor people with pictures of loved ones down there on billboards or passing them to firemen. Have you seen him or her? And they're trying to get through the lines, to break through the lines, with some expecting some ray of hope. If someone could only tell me, have you seen my husband? Have you seen my brother? My husband that's down there. This is what he looks like. I tell you, if you're not moved, then you're dead. And you're utterly complacent and you have absolutely no interest and no feeling for people of the world. You cannot help it if you are a human being. What will it be like in the rapture? That is nothing compared to what it's going to be when the church is literally in a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye, taken out of this world. I see people. Have you seen my wife? Have you seen my husband? My children are missing. I got up this morning. The phones will be ringing, but they'll be tied up. You can't imagine it. And I am not prepared at this moment to try to be dramatic. I just want to be realistic. I want us to be conscious of the fact the coming of the Lord is for many dreadfully near, but for the church, cheerfully near. There is a difference. Oh, to be on the side that is won. Christ is coming. And he spoke about wars and rumors of wars. When you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, has there ever been a time when little Israel, now back in the land since 1948, that you have seen her compassed about with armies? When she claimed that soil by her initiative and by her own actions with the help of God, and she put up her flag for the first time on May 14, 1948. Let me tell you something. She had been the object of ridicule, scorn, and hatred as no other nation on the face of the earth. And every nation that gives assistance and aid to Israel also are hated. You mark that down. This attack on the United States of America indirectly is related to her support of Israel. That's how much she is hated. But all through the Old Testament, I should say most of the Old Testament, you want to know who Palestine belongs to? It belongs to God. You'll hear the phrase, and if you read it, mind you, you'll read the phrase, my land, my land, my land, my land. God is saying, Israel, land, Palestine, it's mine. I've only loaned it to Israel. And God is going to do with Israel what He wants to do. And He is not going to allow the Arab nation nor any nation of the world to dictate their conditions for little Israel. She is there, and she's there to stay. But she's coming in for a lot of weeping and wailing yet, because she's there in the land, but in unbelief. Many of them are atheists. Hard to believe, but it's true. But she's there. Wars and rumors of war. Do you know, in the last 100 years, but let's say 50 years, because that's my focus tonight, since 1948, Jesus said, referring to that generation, the things that will happen. Do you know every month there's been some kind of war, or some kind of government that has been toppled, some terrorist attack? In the last 48 or 50 years? Do you know that when Daniel said knowledge shall increase, it's inconceivable 50 years or before 50 years ago, some of the things that have happened. Cybernetics, your telephone, your communication system, every child, or I wouldn't say every child, but children going around with telephones, cell telephone. Could you conceive that 40 years, 50 years ago? People talking from the airplane to their loved one about what was happening. Could you conceive that before 50 years ago? Communications means nothing. Distances means nothing today as far as travel and knowledge is concerned. What about the computer system? It started off with a little transistor radio. When I got one with battery-assisted thing, I used to have that up to my ear. It wasn't as loud and wasn't perhaps as clear as they are today. But that's where computer started from. Did you know that? A little transistor system. That's where men got the idea from. And now how many programs can you feed into your computer system? Millions and millions. It's staggering how you can communicate in a moment of time all over the world. When? In the last 50 years. You heard me tell the story how Emily and I stood before television in Toronto, Canada in 1949. I stood before it. I said, in almost in unbelief, I said, honey, here it is. Here it is. Now I know how they're going to see those two men that are killed in Palestine. And now, as Brother Allison mentioned tonight, he said how he was affected in all of us, of course, when he saw what? The plane. I didn't see the other plane, but I saw the plane. Watching that disaster, we thought it was just an accident. A plane had fallen and crashed into the building. And then 20 minutes later or so, roughly, and we saw as eyewitnesses, not a replay by CNN, as an eyewitness, I saw that plane crashed into that building as a suicide mission by these terrorists. And you saw it too, perhaps. Or maybe you saw the replay. But I actually saw an on-the-spot incident. My friend, what does this tell us? The stress of nations. I tried to figure out the other day, and I'm very poor in mathematics. Believe me, I am. In fact, I had to turn to a friend of mine and ask him to help me out. But you know, if 5,000 people are dead, or missing, nearly 5,000 injured, take 10,000 people, perhaps it's far more than that, but let's take a figure of 10,000 people that have been affected directly by that act of aggression. Think of the relatives, uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters, grandpa, grandma, you name it. How many families would be involved with one individual in that incident there in New York? We're talking about not just 10,000 people. We are talking about 500,000 people directly family related. And I told a friend of mine, in fact, I had to turn to a friend of mine, ask him to help me out. But you know, if 5,000 people are dead or missing, Nearly 5,000 injured, take 10,000 people, perhaps it's far more than that, but let's take a figure of 10,000 people that have been affected directly by that act of aggression. Think of the relatives, uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters, grandpa, grandma, you name it. How many families would be involved with one individual in that incident there in New York? We're talking about not just 10,000 people. We are talking about 500,000 people directly family related. And I told a friend of mine, I figured about 300,000. He said, you're way below. I said, well, how much? He said, no less than 500,000. It staggers my imagination. That's what's been affected in New York City. I'm not talking about Americans and America and the world. I'm talking about people that are related to those people that lost their lives or were injured. We're talking about 500,000 people in New York City and their families. 5,000 injured, take 10,000 people, perhaps it's far more than that, but let's take a figure of 10,000 people that have been affected directly by that act of aggression. Think of the relatives, uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters, grandpa, grandma, you name it. How many families would be involved with one individual in that incident there in New York? We're talking about not just 10,000 people. We are talking about 500,000 people directly family related. And I told a friend of mine, I figured about 300,000. He said, you're way below. I said, well, how much? He said, no less than 500,000. It staggers my imagination. That's what's been affected in New York City. I'm not talking about Americans and America and the world. I'm talking about people that are related to those people that lost their lives or were injured. We're talking about 500,000 people in New York City and their families around the world or in America that have been affected. Distress of nations. Nations are now really awed by what has happened and they want to give assistance. And Jesus said, men's hearts will be failing them for fear. Immediately America set up a network of psychiatrists. Did you know that? Distress of nations. Nations are now really awed by what has happened, and they want to give assistance. And Jesus said, men's hearts will be failing them for fear. Immediately America set up a network of psychiatrists. Did you know that? Thousands of psychiatrists are at work, waiting to give assistance to people that are emotionally disturbed by what has happened. Jesus said men's hearts failing them for fear. Some have even had heart failure. It's been reported. I can't imagine the deep sorrow and the grief. But I've got news for you. Listen, my friend, listen. I wouldn't want to be a terrorist involved in that. I'll tell you why. The day is coming that they're going to get a body. Right now they're in prison in hell. You know that, don't you? They think they were doing it for Allah. They really did. Going out in a blaze of glory, doing something for God. And they did it in the name of Allah. When they get their bodies, I don't know how many people were saved there that lost their lives. But I wouldn't want to be a terrorist member there to face them in hell in the coming day. Those that died without God, without Christ. Are you following me? If there are, couple of thousand or more, whatever, if they're lost in hell. I don't keep the books of God. What do you think is going to happen in hell when they get their special body? They're going to see them. Lazarus, the rich man could see Abraham afar off. He had sight. That is, he had reason. He had memory. What do you think it's going to be like? My friend, the fires of an eternal hell is bad enough, but to be there to face those same people, those terrors caused their death, it's going to be another hell in itself for every one of them. I know there's been a lot of speculation about what's going to happen. It's not over yet. And everybody's crying vengeance, and people are bitter, and people are angry. But it's not as easy as that. You have several areas of people and nations that are involved. Will it affect us? I'm speaking like this because I want, by the help of God, for us as Christians, now a little word to the Christians, listen. You can't afford to be occupied with some little mamby-pamby issues in this life and in this world and even in this little island. You can't be like children tossed to and fro in every whim. My feelings are hurt. If I had to leave the church for the times my feeling was hurt, I could have left this church at least 36 times. But this church belongs to Jesus Christ, the Lord. And I come here, my focus, the purpose of my coming is for Christ. It isn't to say that we shouldn't be more careful. I'm guilty. Brother Roddy's been leading us down in James chapters, in the two chapters already, and we've been reminded of the damage and the danger of the tongue. Why don't we use our tongues for witnessing for Christ? Don't tell me you can't talk. If you can talk to scandal and to defame and to carry on ridiculously, sometimes we're injurious in our conversation and our talk. You mean to tell me I can't speak one word of witness to the unconverted who are lost and dying and may end in hell because I do not talk to them about the Lord? You mean I can't spend a little time in prayer? I can't spend more time in reading the Word of God, more time in coming out in the fellowship of God's people and coming to the meeting than hearing the Word of God and remembering Him in the breaking of bread and the taking of the cup? You mean I can't spend a little time for God? And every one of us, we sing and we say hallelujah when we hear the songs tonight by the choir and by the quartet. I rejoice in it. I'll see you in the rapture. Wonderful, brother. I don't know anything that'll bring more cheer to the heart of the Christian, but I want to tell you something. What's happening in the meantime going there? Is my life a blob? Am I really doing anything for God? When did you last put your arm around a brother or sister that's hurting? One way or the other, and there's so many of God's people that are hurting today. When did you pick up the telephone and say, I just want you to know, my brother, my sister, I'm praying for you. When did you last do it? Jesus is coming. You believe it? You believe the Lord is coming? Then it should have a purifying effect upon our lives. And it should have an effect on my walk as well as my service for God. Oh, I didn't mean to mention that, really, the things that I mentioned. But my heart is burdened. I love you too well to spare you, to let it go by. I care for you enough. I don't want you to lose out at the beam at the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to understand that there are rewards and you can go in for your rewards. To be more conscious, sure make our money, sure be in business, be applied to your business, be diligent in your business. But always remember the business of God comes first. Comes first. You know why? It's the only business that you're going to leave this world and meet in eternity. The only business. Oh, my friend, listen, the coming of the Lord is near. One of the writers in the New Testament says, snatching them, as it were, out of the pit, out of the fire. That's how burdened he was. And the Lord Jesus says, listen, this generation shall not pass till these things be fulfilled. And oh, and I think of the things that he's referring to from, so even astronomy, atmospheric conditions, change of weather. He spoke about the earthquake, spoke about the planetary heaven, seemed to be in revulsion, and all kinds of things coming from the heavens, falling in the earth and falling in the rivers, poisoning the water, destroying the fish. And just, you know, you can't imagine. You read the Revelation, you see the things that are coming. You cannot help but be stirred and moved. And what we're doing in our world now, we're spending millions of dollars trying to preserve this little fish and this little monkey and this little owl, this spotted owl. And I suppose it has its place and maybe it's good. But the day is coming, those things are going to be destroyed. Did you know that? The environmentalists wouldn't like me hear me talk like this. We spend a fortune in saving a whale, but we do not give a iota or another thought, and we do not care how many babies we kill by abortions every year. Strange world we live in. Someone has ridiculed a famous preacher in America because he was asked a few questions the other night, and he was saying, I believe the judgment of God is on America because of homosexuality and so on, what we have allowed and how permissive we are in our society. And he referred to a few other things. And so many in the country came down hard on him. Another one who is a little more mild and placid, and he said, you can't rope me into that. I am not going to condemn anyone or even the preacher that you referred to. My thinking is this and my mind is this. But you know something? I'm not going to be judgmental, period. You know why? God has his prophets. He has his preachers in America. And if they feel burdened and outspoken, then that's their responsibility before God. And I just feel that God has everything under control. I wouldn't like to be Mr. Van Laden. I wouldn't like to be him at all. I wouldn't like to be a lot of those poor people who have been housing him. I say poor because they don't know what they're coming in for. If they carry out what they say they're carrying out, it may affect us economically here in the Bahamas. It may affect our tourist trade. Are you prepared for it? You're saying, you're crying vengeance. You say, yes, they should strike. There should be this, should be that. And I suppose it will be. But have you any idea how it's going to affect our society? Do you know how it's going to affect us personally here at Spanish Wells? Can we afford, if poverty should come, if we lose a lot in life, can we afford it? I'm not speculating. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But what I am saying is, are you prepared for the things that might happen as a result of what may come in the ensuing months? You see, are we prepared? One thing we should be prepared for is that Christ is coming. And my friend, if you're here tonight, we love you. If you're not a Christian, we urge you again, because that's why Christ came into the world, to die on Calvary, to give his life as a ransom for many. And he loves you very dearly. And the word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He will not turn you aside if you come to him. And that is the gospel story. And that's how you can be saved. That's how you can be ready. You can know that you're a child of God. You're a member of the body of Christ when you place your faith and trust in the risen Christ. And we pray to God that tonight is going to be a night where you'll say yes to him. And if you're here and you're not a Christian, just bow your head right where you are, because I'm going to ask you to bow and pray with us at this time. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And we want you to just give this some serious thought tonight. Serious thought. How do you stand tonight before God? I can't judge you, and I'm not going to judge you, but you know deep down in your heart, are you ready? You're saying, no, Frank, I am not ready, but I certainly would like to be. There are men here who would be glad to take you to the office after this service. We'll have one of the brethren out there by the office, standing there waiting. If you want to go there, if you want a little more privacy, or you want to remain here in the chapel, I'll be glad to have a word with you here, and the others will be glad as well. But by all means, do it tonight. Do it tonight. Will you do that? Heads bow. And it's just so simple. It is just a prayer away. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me. I've gone on too long without Christ, and I'm coming home tonight. I'm coming home now. Will you say that? If you're earnest, I know you're not going to do it unless you mean it, but will you do it right now? In the quietness of this moment. Lord, how we pray indeed that you would bless your word. We think of the words of the Lord Jesus. They are his words. Watch, therefore, and be you ready. It is our prayer that every person in this chapel tonight will know what it is to be ready. Help us as Christians to be ready for his coming, that our life will be right, our deportment, our service will be right, and that we'll be right with one another. We ask for the unconverted, O God, that their souls will be made right tonight by the blood of Jesus. O God, speak through your word. Save souls is our prayer. We plead with you, Lord. Save souls. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.